Welcome to KTWH's Candidate Forum for an at-large city council seat in Two Harbors. This is Leo Baybue for KTWH 99.5 FM, online at ktwh.org. This November 6th will be an important general election with a number of important races on the ballot. In Two Harbors, there are three city council seats to be filled, those for Wards 1 and 2, as well as for one at-large council position. Today's candidate forum features the at-large seat candidates, Zach Anderson and Jackie Renwald. Thanks for joining us today, Jackie and Zach.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, the forum will be a discussion format. Each candidate will answer questions from our moderator, and they have 90 seconds for each response. We'll begin with a brief introductory statement from both candidates. The candidates will take turns going first in each round, and should either candidate refer to their opponent critically in an answer, that person will be given time for a brief response. Our moderator today is Terry Caddo, reporter for the Lake County News Chronicle. Thanks, Terry, for agreeing to moderate. And here is Terry.
We'll begin with an opening statement. Please introduce yourself and your reasons for running for council. You have 1 minute limit on this. We're going to start with Jackie.
Thank you. Thank you both for having us as well, and thanks to KTWH for doing this. I'm Jackie Renwald, and I am running for city council at large here in Two Harbors. I have lived here for 16 years, and I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do to do my small part to make Two Harbors a better place.
Thank you. Now, Zach, please introduce yourself and your reasons for running for council, and you have 1 minute.
My name is Zach Anderson. I'm born and raised here in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Graduated from Two Harbors High School in 2007. Reason for running for city council is I believe the city council is moving in the right direction, although I believe there's a few things that they don't look at the big picture on. So that's mainly my reason for running, and to be the voice for the people.
Thank you. Moving on to the first question, Zach. What issues are most important to you, and if elected, what would be your top three priorities?
Some of the issues, my top three would be, number one, continuing with the road projects, getting the roads fixed in a timely manner, making sure not too much damage is done to people's property in the work of doing the streets and stuff. Number two would be the waterfront, making waterfront more vibrant and attractive for both tourists and local people. And number three, an issue and a sore spot for a lot of people is the golf course in Two Harbors, and look at ways to make money at the golf course without shutting the golf course down or turning it into a nine-hole course. Keep 18 and make money or come out even on it.
Thank you. Jackie, what issues are most important to you, and if elected, what would be your top three priorities?
I think in Two Harbors, the issues that are always on the top of everyone's minds is obviously our roads and our alleys and our sidewalks. The water treatment facility is also a very big and important part of our city and how it runs. The infrastructure beneath the roads, those sort of things need to be always kept in the forefront. Our waterfront is important. There are just a lot of housing, you know, single-family housing, how to make that something more families have an opportunity to try to find. I think my top three issues would definitely be as far as the water treatment facility. I think that is they're taking great steps to try to, you know, make that, do the retrofitting on a lot of the infrastructure in the water treatment facility itself. Another, I guess my second one on the top of my mind would be the waterfront and how to make that more interesting for tourists and a reason for them to go to our downtown businesses and our downtown area to experience the beauty of Lake Superior that we're so lucky to live near. And our third one would be single-family housing, and how can we try to make that something that more people can experience and be able to live here and work here.
Thank you. Moving on to the next question. Jackie, what key elements need to be considered for the next round of capital improvement plan of the capital improvement plan development process?
I think they did a great job on 6th Avenue. It looks fantastic. And I think 7th Avenue. And it was nice to see how well that worked out. So I think the next things they need to look at is what are the next streets that need the most work, and how can they map it out so that they do get the most, without moving the equipment too much, get as much done as they can in one little small area or a longer area so that it continues, and also make sure that it is something that the residents are all behind and are interested in, making sure that it happens from their point of view, not just from the contractor's point of view.
Thank you. Zach, what key elements need to be addressed in the next round of the capital improvement plan development process?
Make sure that we have a good flow with the traffic, not blocking up too much traffic in certain areas. I know that was a problem during the 7th Avenue. I know it's hard. You can't really maneuver around too much around 7th. It's not a very big space for the work that they were doing to it. The other thing, look at possibly downtown, some of the roads downtown further like South Avenue would be a key one to get done next or as soon as possible. I believe 6th Street and 5th Street would both be ones that could be worked on and get it done in a timely manner.
Thank you. Next question. Zach, how do you think the city should prioritize its infrastructure needs going forward?
The first thing they should work on that I believe I've heard a lot of issues with, they are making progress on it, is the water treatment plant. Also, look at the roads that are used the most and get those fixed in a timely manner. And then your sewer gas problems, get those done in a timely manner also.
Thank you. Jackie, how do you think the city should prioritize its infrastructure needs going forward?
I think what we need to do is look at how the city functions. Obviously, the infrastructure is it, but that also involves the sewage and everything that's going on under our roads that we can't see, and that's where the foundation is. And if you want to build up, you still have to make sure, you can't really do that until you see what is down below. So checking out as they're looking at which roads to do next, how is all the plumbing and the sewage and everything, the lines that are down there, what kind of condition are they in? And so to prioritize, I would say look at what, you know, start with the bottom up and work that way. Work with the foundation first, and the roads are important. But I do think that we need to be aware of not just fixing a road because it looks bad on top, but really see what looks like underneath as well.
Thank you. Jackie, describe your vision, the big picture that you see, for the city's waterfront on Lake Superior.
The waterfront is one of my issues that I am interested in. I like to go down there and enjoy it, and I just see like so much potential. It is such a gem, and it would be wonderful to do something. It's not even that expensive of a project to think about, perhaps, you know, putting in natural plant species there. And I've mentioned this before, you know, having natural to attract pollinators, you know, the bees and the butterflies that we do need, and a lot of people are putting in pollinator gardens anyway, and work with a lot of the people that I know have a lot of knowledge here. Maybe there are grants possible. Pave a wider strip so that wheelchairs and strollers could get in there, but then also maybe warmer months a food truck could drive down, be there, and then the educational placards along the way so that folks have something to read and learn as they go from the Edna G or the Lighthouse and back, and tourists would learn something on the way too.
Thank you. Zach, describe your vision, the big picture you see for all of the city's waterfront on Lake Superior.
I see you put up history of back in the day of Two Harbors, whether it's working on the ore docks, just basically the history of Two Harbors, put that out there, whether it's on placards or it's on billboards or in little type of shacks or like whiskey row type things down there where people can go down, walk through, check it out, like different shops, whether you have an agate shop. I noticed we no longer have an agate shop in Two Harbors, and that's a big thing in Two Harbors, so to see one of those come back would be great.
Thank you. Zach, how do you propose to address the housing shortage in Two Harbors?
That's something that I got to do a little more research on, figure out what we can do, whether there's more development. I know in certain areas where they were planning on doing development, let's continue to get that done, get it done in timely matter, stop waiting on it, make it more attractive in Two Harbors, bring more people in, and more businesses, more opportunities for people. Would maybe bring in more developers to maybe develop more apartments for the lower class or middle class.
Thank you. Jackie, how do you propose to address the housing shortage in Two Harbors?
That is a big issue here. I know a lot of families want to live here and find jobs here and stay here. And we want, you know, our kids to be able to stay here. So I think the housing issue, it's a matter of not only jobs, but there's a lot of potential. The John A. Johnson lot, I know that's a zoning issue. So we'd have to look at how are things zoned, either residential or commercial. Can we make some tweaking there to make things more viable? Up Battaglia Boulevard, I know they've been working on that to try to shrink those plots or replat them so that more houses would fit there. They don't have to be a huge, large lot with a big, huge house on it. They can make it a more affordable starter family home. But then also, there's easily 10 to 20 blighted or forfeited homes or tax forfeiture homes or empty lots around Two Harbors where maybe we could work with the owner or the bank or figure out what can we put, you know, work with a realtor. Let's get some houses built on these places right here in town where families could start and have a small starter home and, you know, clean up the town and the residences as we do that.
Thank you. Jackie, the city operates several municipal business enterprises, including the liquor store, the campground, and the golf course. Should the city continue to subsidize city enterprises?
I think the enterprises that we are undertaking are conceptually very good. The campground is doing great. The liquor store has always been doing fairly well. And even the golf course, I think, has so much potential, kind of like the waterfront. It's got potential, but it needs to have someone, you know, with a, more of a business background. And how can we make it run more efficiently? What can we do to improve it and make it so that it's less of a drain on the city's funds and become something that does actually, you know, put more money back into the coffers in Two Harbors. So I think looking at the management or how it's run and what are we doing with it and where can we make it better and fix what's going on.
Thank you. Zach, the city operates several municipal business enterprises, including the liquor store, the campground, and the golf course. Should the city continue to subsidize city enterprises?
Yes, I believe that should. The golf course, I know, is a sore subject for a lot of people. They look at the big number that's in the paper that shows it as a big loss. I wish the more numbers would come out and show the bigger breakdown to show people where the loss was, that it's not as far as revenue goes. The golf course makes money every year. It's just at the end, after that revenue goes down, there's been a lot of neglect to the golf course. So there's a lot of things that they've had to purchase in the last few years that have brought the price up on the budget that we had for the golf course. I think now with the way they have it, they brought in a new greenskeeper. I believe that that can be a successful place now. It's starting to look really nice. Now that we have someone that knows what they're doing, I believe that we have potential bringing money in. Yes, there is some development in some areas around the golf course that could be put up to possibly bring in some more money for the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Zach, is Two Harbors where it needs to be as a city? And if not, where does it need to go?
I believe you're never perfect. There's always room for improvement with the city. There's a budget and working with the money that's spent by the city. Things like that could be worked on. More interacting with the community would be another step forward. Those are my things.
Thank you. Jackie, is Two Harbors where it needs to be as a city? And if not, where does it need to go?
Two Harbors is obviously it's a destination for tourists, and that's kind of just where it is. And what does it need to be? I think it needs to think about being perhaps a destination for families, where families want to not just visit for a weekend, but, you know, stay. And we need to find opportunities and reasons for them to stay. And that would be something like, think about how can we make more industry want to be here? Obviously, environmentally good steward industry, but we have the industrial park. We've got a lot of area down by the brewery that's ready to go. And those would be places where we could actually build our residency, and that would also bring in more tax dollars to help, again, fund other issues. The other idea is to keep people here, and I think Two Harbors is a place where a lot of folks graduate and off to the cities or Duluth they go or beyond, and to look at ways as how can we keep our kids and our families here. And so it's a good start. It's a great place to live. I love it here. But I think looking at how can we get other folks interested in staying here, and what kind of jobs can we bring in to get those folks to want to be here?
Thank you.
You're listening to the At Large City Council Candidate Forum on KTWH 99.5 FM, ktwh.org, online. Your moderator today is Terry Caddo from the Lake County News Chronicle, and she is posing questions to candidates Jackie Renwald and Zach Anderson. Thanks for joining us. At the end of today's forum, we'll have information on when you can hear this forum again in its entirety, or check it out at our station website to hear an archived recording of the forum. And now here again is our moderator, Terry Caddo.
Jackie, how might we create greater diversity in types of businesses operating in the city?
That's a great question. We have a lot of touristy type places, which are very necessary, and the hotels and the restaurants make a great a place for people to want to come up here to enjoy the beautiful scenery. I think to add diversity, again, would be, you know, look at the industrial park, as I was saying. There's a lot of trade, a dearth of trade employees, and I know a lot more are retiring than what are going into the businesses. So maybe working with those industries that we already have, how can we get more people interested in going into that line of work to create some more diversity? And then, again, as I said, adding some more businesses up on the industrial park, making it more welcoming and interesting where more people would want to come and work those sorts of jobs, which we need. Aside from just, you know, working at the restaurants or at the hotels, as we also need those, but let's make it diverse and have other kinds of industry come in too.
Thank you. Zach, how might we create greater diversity in the types of businesses operating in the city?
We need to make it more attractive for one, the city of Two Harbors, and they're working on that by the infrastructure, fixing the roads, making it more enjoyable in the city to drive around. We need to bring more jobs into the industrial park. There's a lot of open space up there. I believe there's ways to advertise that on the city's hands to go and try to bring in these bigger corporations that are more a year-round job, not just this a seasonal job where you work 6 months, 7 months out of the year, and then you get laid off for a few months because it slows down around here. We need more year-round jobs.
Thank you. Zach, what concerns do you have for our current transportation flow issues in the city, especially the main route through town, and how might you address those issues?
That's a tough question. With all the road work that's been done this past summer, it's going to be interesting to see how, after it's all done now, how next summer is going to work out and how the flow of traffic is going to go through town. It's really hard to tell what that's going to do this year. You didn't really have a chance to see the flow of traffic because there was a lot of construction going on, so it was really slowed down most of the summer just by the construction. So now that it's open, it's going to be interesting to see the flow through town. I believe the improvements that they have done, I think it's going to help a lot on 7th Avenue in the heat of the summertime.
Thank you. Jackie, what concerns do you have for our current transportation flow issues in the city, specifically the main route through town, and how might you address those issues?
Again, the improvements they did are fantastic, and it is going to be great to see how that does alleviate a lot of the traffic issues that we've had. We might get a little sample of it, you know, of any winter traffic that happens, but I know that they're going to work on the next half of Highway 61 and that, you know, right here through town coming next year, and that would also be an addition. And I think my suggestion would be to let them do what they're doing. I think we've got a great team of folks who are doing a great job. They came in real close to budget, maybe like a couple $100s over, which is nothing compared to what a budget could be. So they have done a great job so far. They're cost effective and they're doing great work. And I think they worked as fast as they could given the weather and the wet weeks that we had there. So maybe just step back, maybe keep an eye and check on them, but make sure that we let them do what they're doing, and they're doing a great job.
Thank you. Jackie, what kinds of projects do you want to see happen in Two Harbors that no one seems to be currently talking about?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. What kind of projects do I want to see happen in Two Harbors? I think I'm going to have to go back to when I don't know that many people talk about it, and it's sort of having to do with the housing issue, but also the blight and forfeited houses. Every block, it seems, you can walk, and there might be one or two houses that are neglected or that no one is living in. It's an empty lot altogether. And 20 or 30 of those, that is a lot of potential. And I think that's something that needs to be talked about. What can we do to, A, beautify our city, but also, secondly, to give people a place to reside and stay here?
Thank you. Zach, what kind of projects do you want to see happen in Two Harbors that no one seems to be currently talking about?
One project I'd like to see that I've heard from a lot of people that stayed at the campground this past summer. I work at the golf course. I see a lot of the traffic from there come through there. And a lot of them talk about a place to put their boats when they're camping over there. So I wouldn't mind seeing some docks be put out right there, so you could say you're staying at the campground, you could put your boat in the water and then have a place to tie up your boat, and then more revenue for the campground also by charging a certain amount per slip when you're renting your campsite. That wouldn't be a bad project, and it's not over by the ore docks, which has been talked about before as having a marina or a place for boats over there. I just worry about the ore dust and the damage that can do to the boats. I used to live downtown. I've seen the damage that it does to the side of your house. So I can't imagine having a boat right next to it.
Thank you. All right, Zach. A city councilor cannot operate or succeed in a bubble. How would you work with the council as a whole for positive outcomes?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. A city councilor cannot operate or succeed in a bubble. How would you work with the council as a whole for positive outcomes?
That's a lot of communication. Make sure you have good communication. Make sure you listen, take in ideas, as well as giving ideas, and just make sure you're listening to what everybody has to say.
Thank you. Jackie, a city councilor cannot operate or succeed in a bubble. How would you work with the council as a whole for positive outcomes?
I think communication is the priority there, and listen to what other city councilors have heard from their constituents when you have an issue on the table. And anyone can have an idea, but the wrong way to go about, you know, making it bring it to fruition is just shoving it through without communicating and listening to other points of view. And I think the real genius in doing anything that is going to be productive in working with other people is to listen and to understand their points of view. And I think there's also amount of a civility and respect that has to go with that as well. So I think working with the other counselors would be a matter of good common sense and respect and open ears and an open mind.
Thank you. Jackie? How would you ensure that citizens have adequate opportunities for their voices to be heard in the process of decision-making by elected officials?
This is one that I don't know how we would pull it off, I guess, but I would like to see it happen where when we have the city council meetings and there's just a very small handful of people that can actually watch it on TV and whatever stations I know where I might TV service. I can't get it, even if I wanted to watch it. And it would be wonderful if every single citizen in Two Harbors would be able to watch a city council meeting if they couldn't make it down, inclement weather, they're homebound or whatever, or they just don't want to leave the house in their jammies. But to be able to watch our city council happen and let our city council be that transparent. So I think that boils down to, where is it in the technology world that it's not possible yet, and why can't we fix it where every family has access to seeing that and seeing how our city council works, and that way they would be more informed about every issue as it comes up and as it's on the table.
Thank you. Zach, how would you ensure the citizens have adequate opportunities for their voices to be heard in the process of decision-making by elected officials?
Media is a big thing. Getting it on TV so that everybody can see the council meetings, or even if we could get it on the radio and have it heard by everybody and give everybody the opportunity, because some people can't leave their houses and they just can't afford the cable or to have the TV, but yet they still want to be involved with the community, and they deserve the opportunity also. The other thing is just to make sure you're always listening to the people and what the people are saying. It may not always be 100% correct, but just be there and listen to them and research what they're saying, figure out what they're saying, and go back to them with an answer.
Thank you. All right, closing statements. Please summarize what you want the voters to consider in casting their votes. Zach, you have 90 seconds.
I'd like everybody to realize I'm a local guy. I've lived here my whole life. I've seen a lot of different counselors and what they've brought to the table. I guess my main thing is I'm here to make everybody's voice heard, and I'm a local guy with a local plan.
Thank you. Jackie, please summarize what you want the voters to consider in casting their votes, and you have 90 seconds.
Thank you. I'd like to let them consider that this has been a goal of mine for 2 years, and I have been attending city council meetings and learning the issues and learning how folks work together. And I am excited to have an opportunity at some point, maybe someday, to be able to be part of that. And I guess I'd want them to consider that I want what's best for Two Harbors. I live here. I want my son to stay here. So any decision I make is going to be one that I'm thinking with a long-term perspective. And I just hope that they get out to the polls, and I'd like to ask for their vote.
Thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank again our candidates, Jackie Renwald and Zach Anderson, for participating today, and to Terry Caddo for moderating the candidate forum for the at-large position on the Two Harbors City Council. Thanks also to Michelle Anderson for her timely assistance. These candidates will be on the November 6th ballot for all Two Harbors voters. KTWH encourages everyone to participate in the process of selecting our leaders at every level of government. Our City Council candidate specials will be rebroadcast on October 27th from 10 to 11 a.m. and again at 6:05 p.m. on Monday, November 5th. And you can listen to the candidate forums online at ktwh.org anytime. Just click the program tab on the station's homepage at ktwh.org, and you'll find an archive for the candidate forums. Stay tuned for more election coverage on KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio.